Happy 10th anniversary to our friends and sponsors Ricky and Kelly for 10 years of Groenfell Meadery. You can celebrate by joining the Bottle of the Month Club at Groenfell.com. If you join, you'll get exclusive mead for members delivered to your house in most of the U.S. monthly. For example, Mead of the Month members in October will receive Imperial Rose Brew, a delicious mead with rose hips, citrus, and spices. Sounds perfect for fall. Check out all the details along with all the honey-based deliciousness at family-owned and operated Groenfell.com. That's Groenfell. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 19th, 2023. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, the Hop Sampler is back. Steve Wilkes and I sit down to sample Vic's Secret from Australia, Nectaron from New Zealand, and Idaho 7 from Idaho. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and thanks to everybody who's helping out that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters this week will see an early release of our video on my Arkansas Porch Steamer beer. That's the beer that Matt Giovannisi of Brew Cabin and I designed as a salute to Anchor's steam beer. I think it turned out pretty well, although it's been a while since I've had the real thing, so I don't know how close it is to the original steam beer. Supporters will also get the recipe, a behind-the-scenes video, and a behind-the-scenes video of my Red Honey IPA, which I didn't get to post before we left on vacation. Speaking of vacation, Susan and I had a great time exploring the Canadian Rockies up around Kamloops and Jasper and Banff, some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen, including Moraine Lake, which is the most beautiful place I've been in my life, hands down. It was just gorgeous. The weather was perfect. And even though it was at the end of the season, fewer people around, which was great. I had some delicious beverages, some of which Steve and I will talk about later in the show. We met some fun people from around the world and just had a great time. It was the first vacation for just the two of us by ourselves since we've had kids. And I survived. She didn't leave me somewhere on the side of the road. While we were away, the smoked Rotbier that Chris Colby and I designed was finishing fermentation. It was a 2-gallon batch, so I was able to lager it in my old keg cooler by surrounding it with water and using those gel freezer packs in the water to keep the temperature below 60 degrees Fahrenheit or around 15 C. It worked pretty well. I had a thermometer probe, you know, submerged in the water on the end of it like a cable. So it was easy to tell where I was temperature-wise. And, I guess it would work. I don't know if it would work with a 5-gallon or 19-liter batch. It may be more difficult to maintain the temperature with a volume of that size. But with the plastic hardware store, water jug 3-gallon fermenter that I was using, it worked great. By the way, being in Canada for a few days reminded me of how clueless we Americans sound to the rest of the world when we talk in Fahrenheit and pounds, ounces, hogs heads, or whatever units we use down here. So, it was good for me to get unimmersed in the old way of doing things. I fermented that smoked Rotbier with the current featured strain from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Yeast, L26 Pilgrimage. Since it was only a couple of gallons, I didn't use a starter, so I didn't have to dust off my dusty stir plate. Those 200 billion cells in that easy-to-open pack of Pilgrimage did a great job taking the beer from 1046 to 1010 in just a few days. I took it out of the cold and let it warm up for a diacetyl rest and to clean things up while we were away. It came back and the beer was very clear. We bottled it. It tasted great. It's not extremely smoky, but there is enough of that cherry smoked malt character to make it delicious and interesting. I think Chris is going to like it. He likes smoked beers. Certainly no yeast character that I could detect, which is what you want from a clean fermenting lager yeast like Imperial L26 Pilgrimage. It's time to make some lagers here in the Northern Hemisphere. Ask your local homebrew store about L26 Pilgrimage from Imperial Yeast. and check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Okay, the last yeast sampler that Steve and I did was way back in February of 2021. We switched to malt samplers and water chemistry samplers and sort of forgot about the hops. But we're back to compare Vic Secret, Idaho 7, and Nectaron. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James.
We're recording remotely.
Yeah, we are.
Should we say why we're recording remotely or edit this part out?
Oh, we can say why.
We're both returning from trips. Yes. I went to the Canadian Rocky Mountains. And
we went to New York City.
New York City.
Yep.
For your son Chase's wedding. So
we sure did. He got married in Central Park.
Best wishes.
Thank you.
So out of an abundance of caution, we are recording separately, so we don't combine our germs.
That's right. Well, we brought a little present back with us.
I wasn't going to say.
Oh, it's okay. It's not a big deal. My wife has, so Gretchen has COVID, and she's sick, but she's in bed, and she's doing okay. She's just kind of like got a really bad cold and doesn't feel good. And I don't feel good either, but I've tested negative twice.
Mm.
But I'm staying, we are behaving as though we both have it. I still go out and run errands when I need to, but I wear a mask and try to stay away from, you know, congested areas. And it's just going to be what it is.
Yeah,
but I will say this: I'm gonna say a plug for getting vaccinated. I believe that yes, we know Gretchen got it, and we think I've got it. But because we were vaccinated, we're just kind of a little. We're not really sick,
right?
And I think that's because of the vaccination. So
and you got yours like a week before she did,
mm-hmm.
So you might have more protection than she.
That's
had.
That's my theory. That's where I think she actually. I think that's why she is as sick as she is and tested positive, where I've tested negative twice, although I don't feel very good. But I think you can still get a really light case of it, which is what I think I have.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we got the booster like a week before we left the country, and mm-hmm. There were a couple instances like we went on the gondola in Banff, and this thing is about as big as a phone booth. This gondola thing, and we were sitting across from this couple we didn't know from the UK, and she was horking up a loogie, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But knock wood, we seem to be okay. Both of our taste buds, our sets of taste buds are functioning, and that's the important part, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So we have a hop sampler. It's been a very long time since we've done a hop sampler.
At least a year, maybe two. I don't even know.
I think it's been a couple.
Yeah.
I made a spreadsheet of all the hop samplers, and I could pull that up, but I don't want to risk crashing our conversation here. So we've got three hops that have been around for a while, I think, but we haven't tried them in the hop sampler.
Mm-mm.
I've used two of these in at least two of them in beers that came out well, but we haven't had them individually in this little setup. We have Vic Secret, mm-hmm. We have Idaho 7, and we have Nectaron. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done is I've made three 6-packs of beer, and usually we randomize these. But it's been so long since I've done one of these that I screwed up in bottling them because I had 18 of the New Belgium bottles, you know, with the embossed glass or whatever you call it, ring around it. And I had 6 of the plain bottles. And I said, oh, well, we'll just put all the Idaho 7 in the plain bottles. And then so stupid me. It wasn't until after I finished bottling, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now we can tell. Instead of doing, you know, like two of each set, the plain bottles, so that we could have, you know, however many sets, I screwed up.
Yeah, you'd have been a terrible CIA agent. I could break your code.
Or three card, what do they call it? Three card Monty, is that what they call it?
Three card Monty, yeah.
On the street corners?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd lose it. Yeah,
pick,
quick.
Pick the red card. Well, it's the red one. Oh. So anyway, let me talk about the recipe first.
Okay.
These three are extract beers, and I start each batch with 3 quarts or about 3 liters of water. I heat that up to about 140 degrees Fahrenheit just to get it all nice and warm, and then I add 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract, and I bring that just up to the boil. You know, when it's just starting to boil, I shut off the heat, and I put in the hops, and then I put the lid on the kettle, and I set it aside for a 10-minute hop stand. So no boiling, just a 10-minute hop stand, steeping at or near boiling temperature. And then I chill down using an ice bath and put it into a 1-gallon jug fermenter, and I pitch 3 grams of USO5. And so the starting gravity of each batch was 1066. Another Battle of Hastings reference. Here's arrow in your eye.
I won't Stamford that. That's pretty good. You think about that for a while.
It'll put Harold on your chest.
Wait, I've got an arrow in my eye.
Yeah. So 1066, final gravity 1009 for an ABV of 7.5%.
Oh.
So, and then, okay, so what I do is I take the lowest alpha acid hop, mm-hmm. which is Nectaron at 10.1% alpha acid, and I add a full ounce of that. And then I weigh the other ones proportionally based on their alpha acid versus that 10.1%. For example, I added 23 grams of Idaho 7 because it had 12.5% alpha acid. And then 13 grams of Vic Secret because it had, drum roll, 21.5% alpha acid. That may be the
bitter beer face.
That may be the highest alpha acid hop that we've dealt with on this.
Yeah, that's not a cryo hop either, right?
No, it's just pellets.
Wow.
So yeah, it's big.
It's not small.
So then after fermentation, Susan and I bottled these with a carbonation drop in each bottle. And I neglected to write down the bottling date, but they've been in the bottle for a while.
Well, I was going to say, because we started, or at least attempted to do this show before we left on our trips, I think. And then we were like, oh, let's just do it when we get back.
Yeah, something happened.
Am I remembering that correctly?
I think, yeah.
That's only meaning that it's got more time in the bottle to, you know, fully carbonate and.
If I could have time in a bottle,
that's right.
There's one thing that I'd like to do is to have a beer. Okay, and so since we know what the Idaho 7 is because it's got the smooth bottle, I had mm-hmm. Susan randomize the other two. So we're going to taste the Idaho 7 first,
okay?
Because we know what it is.
Now I'm doing this in my office with the door shut, so this is my own private Idaho.
You're old and private Idaho 7. Now, let's see if it's...
Okay. A nice little fizz.
Fizzes. I'm not near a sink, so hopefully this... No, that's fine. Oh!
It's nice and carbonated.
Good.
That's very different from previous hop samplers.
Yeah, because I was always in a hurry.
Yeah.
Cheers, yeah. By the way.
Cheers.
Ooh, that's...
So it's got a nice head. It looks a little bit like a Hefeweizen to me. So in other words, mine's cloudy.
Yeah.
I don't know if yours is, but mine's quite cloudy. But it's pretty. It's not cloudy like, ooh, that's ugly.
Yeah.
It looks like a good beer.
So it's hazy.
And it's hazy. There you go. Okay. I'm going to taste.
Oh, wow. Wow. Ooh. Wow. Mm. That is quite distinctive.
That is distinctive. That is, it's really good.
Yeah. Let's try to come up with some descriptors before. I'm holding my hand over the written descriptor. Yeah. Idaho 7.
Well, I get a big burst of, like, double mint, not double mint, Juicy Fruit gum. But it goes away really quickly, and then there's kind of a really nice bittering at the end. But the beer is not overly hopped. I mean, I was expecting it to be actually more bitter than it is. Did you say the IBUs that you were shooting for?
You know, I didn't calculate the IBUs.
Okay.
This one had 23 grams at 12.5% alpha acid into, you know, that six-pack. Mm-hmm. So it is plenty hoppy. And I think it's delicious.
I think it is too. It's very, you know, it's very much like a, it's kind of a New England hazy IPA-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got that kind of sweet front end. Definitely not a West Coast beer, in my opinion.
No, it's super juicy.
Super juicy and very drinkable. It does have that real bitter, almost like an orange peel, the pith,
right.
You know, the white, it kind of goes there to my palate. So it's got that kind of really kind of acrid bitterness, but it's actually really nice because it balances, you know, the beer is pretty big and it's actually pretty malty. So it does balance that out.
So there's a little bit of astringency. It's not from the hops. I don't think it's off-putting.
No, I don't either. Not at all.
I sampled some local beers when I was out west and north, and there was one, and I can't remember what the brewery was, but it was supposed to be a New England IPA, but it was on my palate, it was way too dank and bitter and leaned more toward the West Coast. Yeah. It was good. You know, I liked it, but it was kind of almost oniony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of grassy and really didn't fit the New England IPA style. This one, I think, is much closer to that because it's got that juice. It's got super citrus. It's right. Got tropical fruit. I'm trying to find a, you know, more specific fruit to associate with it.
I don't know. I get such a mix of flavors. Mm. I don't know. Let me have a little taste here. I was going to say maybe just a little bit of melon, like a little bit of honeydew.
Yeah. Nectarine, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Not quite an orange. It's not
quite orangey.
Not grapefruit, really, I don't think.
No,
it's a softer, less tart citrus fruit. Maybe mm-hmm. nectarine.
Yeah,
or something like that.
I'd buy that. I kind of like this kind of soft tropical fruits, but not citrus, but not a heavy citrus load.
So here's the, are you ready for the descriptor?
Sure.
This is from YakimaValleyHops.com. Idaho 7 is the first hop release from Jackson Farms, just outside of Boise. This hop is ripe with zesty tangerine flavor. That is reminiscent of marmalade. Ooh.
Oh. Yeah.
Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade, yeah.
Its uniqueness shows up as a pleasant herbal character that melds with the citrus to come across like fine Earl Grey tea.
Hmm.
007 is a dual-purpose hop capable of carrying a recipe, but it works best in conjunction with Citra or a bittering hop like Warrior. Interesting.
That's really interesting. That's very interesting. And I could see where Citra would be a big compliment to this. I think they'd work. Ooh, and I happen to have a pound of Citra in my freezer.
You can run and get some pellets and just throw it in there.
That's right.
I don't know. I think it's fine on its own.
I do too, actually. And I was and Warrior is such a big, powerful hop.
I've
brewed with Warrior some, but never by itself. I don't really have a sense of what Warrior on its own would be like, though we probably did a hop sampler on it at some point.
I'm sure we did.
But but Citra, I mean, you know, Citra. I mean, mm-hmm. You can pick that out of a dark room on a fast train. I don't know what that means, but...
Somebody asked me the other day via email what our favorite hops were from the hop sampler series. And I had a little bit of a hard time remembering.
Yeah.
There was the, was it the Swedish hops? I think we were most impressed as a set with the Swedish hops. Was it Korsta? Was oh, one that gosh. I really liked quite a bit, but that's not much help to American. Unless you can get, you know, those hops.
Oh, the Swedish hops. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Ingrid and, they were, Ingrid and Ursula. They were spicy.
But do you remember having a favorite from the sampler series?
No, I don't, because we went through so many on any given day. The only way I could answer that, but I don't know if it would be from the sampler series or not necessarily, but I am still a big fan of traditional noble hops.
Mm.
Hallertauersatz, East Kent Golding, Fuggle, Cascade, which is not technically a noble hop, I guess, but, you know.
It's an old school.
It's an old school hop. Those are my favorite hops, and so those are the hops I prefer. Although, I must say, and again, this isn't really from the sampler, but I really like Northern Brewer quite a lot.
Mm.
It seems very versatile. You can kind of do almost anything with it, and it's not so distinct. In other words, Citra or Amarillo or Mosaic, you can't, you're drinking a Citra beer pretty much. But they have that's kind of been my go-to hop for the last several batches of beer. I've just used Northern Brewer and been very happy with the results. Real old school flavor.
Yeah. I use Northern Brewer for the steam beer the clone that we did on the show a few weeks ago. It's hopped in a way that it's not super distinctive, but it does a good job. I mean, it's a good beer.
Yeah. It's kind of like it provides the bittering and then kind of gets out of the way. It doesn't bring its own little weirdness, you know, its own little thing to the party. Although we're talking about a hop that we're not featuring today. So let's move on.
A couple days ago, I placed an order with our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave of HighGravityBrew.com, and I got it today. I'm very excited. It's ingredients for the next round of the hop sampler, no spoilers, and also ingredients for the beer that Matt Giovannisi of Brew Cabin and I formulated for the show that you will hear next week. Should I tell you? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's a style that I posted a picture of on Instagram when we were out of the country. And it's not a Canadian Caesar. Ordering from HighGravityBrew.com is super simple. I ordered the extract and the hops for the sampler sort of a la carte. But for the recipe development beer, I went to the Build Your Own Beer page. And that thing gets easier and more fun to use every time I use it. You create a bundle for each beer, essentially. You can start by specifying extract or all grain. Then if it's all grain, you choose milled or not. Then all the ingredients you need are all on one page where your total is added up at the bottom of the window as you go along. And while you're on HighGravityBrew.com, as always, you can find Warthog controllers and turnkey electric systems to take the pain out of propane. Use the code EBC75BB, that's EBC75BB, to save $75 off your Warthog purchase. Check it all out and send Desiree and Dave some love for supporting this show for so long at family-owned and operated HighGravityBrew.com. That's HighGravityBrew.com. Are you ready for Random Beer A?
Sure.
This is Random Beer A. Whoops.
Random Beer A. Watch all three of them be Idaho 7.
Yeah, it was... It's been a while since we've done this, so we, you know, if there's a mistake in the labeling process, I would not be surprised.
Also, very good head on it.
Let's see. Yeah, that's nicely carbonated. Boy, it pays to wait. Be patient. Yeah, I tasted some of the beers that I've got on tap, my porter and then that steam beer last night, and boy, they have aged well in the keg. And I'm gonna donate them to what I've got left to Chase's engagement or wedding party
reception.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Locally here next
Yay,
next
I'm
week.
Super happy about that.
Yeah. So cheers again. This one looks maybe a little more cloudy than the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the same. They look about the same to me.
Well,
but yeah,
yeah,
it's a little
holding them up side
a little
side.
Cloudy. It is actually a little more opaque, I guess.
But that doesn't scare me.
No. And
it's a little more kind of grassy than the first one.
It's grassier, and it has kind of a – I think it's more astringent on the back end. The flavor I'm left with is quite bitter. It reminds me of, you know, if you make a pot of hot tea and you leave the tea bag or the loose leaf tea in the water too long, you begin to extract some tannins and other things that are a little too much. And you get kind of that kind of tannin dryness that tea can bring.
Right.
This reminds me of that quite a bit. That's the flavor I'm getting from it. Now, I would say on that the hop has a very nice kind of soft, again, kind of a soft melon, a little bit of that juicy fruit gum, but not as much as the Idaho 7 in my palate. And it is very nice. I'm not sure if for my palate it's overhopped or not. In other words, it's pretty bitter on the back end to me. So I don't know if less of that hop would fix that, or if that's just my palate being, you know, mavericky today.
Well, that first beer was so aggressive flavor-wise that it's this, you know, the tasting order may have a big role today.
That's a good point. Yeah. Now, having said that, the beer's fine, and I'm going to try to not, you know, let these go to waste. I'm going to cork them up and save them for the big game tonight.
And then I gave you three extras as well.
Yeah, I see that.
So, So, yeah, the note that comes out, and maybe it's got similar notes from the first one, and maybe the things that are standing out are the things that are different from the first one, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I get that kind of grassy or oniony just a little bit in compared to the Idaho 7.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And it's not completely unpleasant. I don't like it as much as the first one.
I don't either. I don't like it as much. I don't dislike it, but I don't like it as much. And it almost, and of course, we also want to go back to the brief. The brief here is not that we've brewed the perfect beer the perfect beer with these hops.
Correct.
In this recipe. We're just trying to isolate the flavor of the hop and to be able to comment on it in a reasonable manner.
Right.
So if we were brewing these beers for full consumption, you know what I mean, a full batch, they would be very different beers.
Mm-hmm. And it could be that you would use the different hops for different applications.
Exactly.
You know, one may make a better, you know, this is essentially a flame out beer.
Yeah.
Flame out edition.
Yeah.
You know, some of these may be better dry hopped.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be, you know, just fine in bittering, you know, just enough to to bitter. Interesting. Yeah. I'm gonna read randomly between Vic Secret and Nectaron, since Vic Secret is the top of the page.
Okay.
Vic Secret, this comes from hopslist.com. Vic Secret had her first commercial harvest in 2013. Wow, 10 years ago. Developed in 2000 in Victoria, Australia, hence the name, alongside sister variety Topaz. Vic Secret features elements of tropical fruit, herbs, and pine with clean notes of pineapple and passion fruit.
Okay.
So there you go. So not saying that that's this.
Right.
But just that's the next one. So did you have any good beers up in New York City?
You know, I didn't really, it wasn't really a beer trip, so I didn't get to like go explore beer destinations. I can't think if I had any local beer. I did enjoy very much a few pints of Guinness.
Oh,
as
did we.
Oh man, I tell you what, that's a great beer. I kind of go on Guinness streaks, you know. It's like I'll drink it for a week or two, you know, buy a couple of six packs or something. But you drink that stuff on nitro at a at an Irish pub in New York City, and it's pretty darn good. I gotta tell you. And actually, this restaurant we went to is a pub in Hell's Kitchen, and it had been there in that location just like it was since 1868.
Wow.
And it was, so the place was great, you know, and it was a real Irish pub, AKA, you know, from New York. And I had bangers and mash and pints of Guinness, and I was happy as a clam.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, we,
so mostly I sampled martinis while I was in New York.
Yeah, I saw a picture or two of martinis. I found a couple of things. I found a new mixed drink that I like quite a bit, and I think I'm going to try to make myself the classic Canadian Caesar. I posted a picture of that and sent it to you. And
I think
and
you did, yeah.
Sent you the description. It's kind of a twist on the Bloody Mary, because it's made with vodka, of course, Clamato juice, Worcestershire sauce, and Tabasco with some kind of celery seed or whatever concoction of salt on the rim. But I like it quite a bit. I had a few of those.
Actually, when I make Bloody Marys, I don't use Clamato, but I use a tomato juice or perhaps V8, but usually it's just tomato juice. And then I do a shot of clam juice.
Ah! So you essentially it adds a savoriness to it that I found was really good.
Yeah.
And we went to an Irish pub in Banff. St. James Gate, I think, is the name of it. And, you know, I don't know how authentic it was, but we sat at the bar. Susan and I sat at the bar, and the barkeepers were very nice and very attentive. And we started off with a Guinness each. Then she had a cream ale on nitro. I went to, because I was given the coaster of Pilsner Urquell, I said, well, you know, I haven't had a Pilsner Urquell in years. I'll get one of those in this Irish pub. but it was really, really good because, you know, back in the day when I would drink a few Pilsner Urquells, they came in those green glass bottles, and it was always skunked.
Yeah.
But this was just as clean and delicious and non-skunky, and, you know, the way the beer ought to be, obviously, you know, because it's on tap.
Uh-huh.
But I really liked that beer.
I do too. Yeah, it's, I don't see it around much anymore. I used to see it. And the other beer like it or similar to it that I love is Staropramen.
Huh.
And again, you used to be able to find it around here in Northwest Arkansas, and I haven't seen it in years, so I don't know what's up with that, but really good beers if you can find them.
Mm-hmm. And I think the last time I saw, of course, you can get Pilsner Urquell in a can now, I think. But I think the last time I saw it in a bottle, it was in a brown bottle. So maybe, you know, maybe they learned their lesson. Shall we go on to random beer number B?
Let's do it.
Turns out people are nice in Canada.
I've heard that.
Ooh, this one has it's more carbonated than the first. At least mine was.
Mine, all three of mine have been highly carbonated. I mean, they've all had really, really nice heads on them. And, mine have been all. Now, this one is the least hazy of the three. It's kind of hazy, but it's the least opaque of the three.
Hmm. You know, the Idaho 7 had the medium amount of hops. The Vic Secret had the most. Or no, the Vic Secret had the least. And then the Nectaron had a full ounce. I wonder if that. I wonder if that's, you know,
a little foreshadowing.
Or I don't know. Whether, you know, the more hops makes a cloudier beer. I don't know.
I quite like that. This is the lightest and most quaffable of the three.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you agree with that, because the other two, very tasty, not really quaffable, not really, or I should say, crushable. This one's pretty crushable. I could definitely just sit down and drink this beer.
Oh, that's very nice. It's not
that's
as,
really nice.
Not as aggressively bitter as the other two, even though, you know, according to the alpha acid percentage, and my, I guess my math was all right. They should be similar, although, you know, just alpha acid is not necessarily an indication of the hop character of a beer.
Right. This is, in my opinion, so this is, as you've already said, the least aggressive. And I agree with that, meaning that the flavor profile, both the kind of fruitiness, the sensation of sweetness, though I don't want to say it's sweet, but there is a sensation of sweetness when you taste fruit. All of those flavors are less aggressive. It seems to be the most, the beer that's the most in balance with itself. So the bittering level seems very appropriate to the malt bill. It doesn't finish with that super stringent kind of over steep tea kind of thing. And again, I just go back to the bittering level itself is very nice. Not really what we're trying to accomplish, you know, do here, but and then I definitely get all those kind of stone fruit, light citrus, light melon. There, all those flavors are there, but it's much more subtle, and I quite like it. I quite like this one a lot.
The head has stuck around on this one. It's almost like an egg white, you know, whipped egg white character.
Well, mine's been around so long; it's more like a Betty White.
God love her.
Boy, that's a good beer.
That is good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'm going to go back and taste the Idaho 7. It's just kind of more.
It's really good, too.
It's more fruity, more bitter. It's more of an IPA level.
Yeah.
Hoppiness. This one, the third one, B. is more of kind of a pale ale level.
Yes, hoppiness. I agree with that. Yeah, it's nowhere near as hoppy or bitter. And I would also say that the fruit character is somewhat less sharp. But again, I just find it's the most complex, it's the most quaffable. The flavor of the hop is very pleasant. It's really, really nice. And definitely a New World-ish. I think these – are these all from – no, Idaho 7's not, of course, because it's from Idaho. But I think the other two are from Australia or New Zealand.
Well, Nectaron's from New Zealand. Vic okay. Secret's from Australia.
Now, Nectaron was my favorite Transformer. He turns into a giant peach. Call him James.
Speaking of Nectaron, this is from nzhops.co.nz. Nectaron, intense tropical pineapple, passion fruit, and stone fruit characters. Passion, boy, they like the plosives in these descriptors. I'm trying not to go right into the mic. Passionately crafted over 17 years, Nectaron, registered trademark, displays high levels of tropical fruit, characters of pineapple and passion fruit, as well as stone fruit, in parentheses peach, and citrus, in parentheses grapefruit, a triploid aroma type developed in collaboration with New Zealand's Plant and Food Research. Nectaron, registered trademark, is a full sister to Waimea. Careful.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Well, we know which one's the Idaho 7, so we don't have to worry about trying to identify that.
Yeah.
So it's down to which one is Vic's Secret and which one is Nectaron.
I have a guess.
Yeah, I
may be wrong, but what's your guess? Guest goes first.
I think B is Nectaron.
I think you're right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Vic's Secret is A. It's just more aggressive, you know, and the Vic's Secret is, 21.5% alpha acid. It's just the A beer, the second beer we tasted, just is really not very subtle.
Nothing subtle about A. Let me put a little more in here. Try it one more time.
Yeah, I'll pour a little bit of B, the third one. None of them are bad beers.
Right. Now they're all fine. And I
wouldn't drink any of them.
Absolutely. Think about this for a sec. Well, guys, I'm going to stick with what I think, but, you know, truthfully, I don't have a clue, honestly.
Which is your favorite?
B.
The third beer we tasted.
Yeah, the third beer. Yeah.
I like it. I was just blown away by the Idaho 7, though. I like those powerful, good flavors, you know?
See, I think that's interesting because I've been trending toward lightly hopped session beers, you know, Pilsner-ish, you know, Helles, cream ales, blonde ales. Those have been tasting really good to me. And so my favorite beer is the one that's kind of closest to that, you know, description today.
Mm.
So in other words, Idaho 7, I do like it quite well. It's a little bit too strong for me.
It's
for my palate right now. There's a lot going on there. And so but that doesn't mean that it's bad. That's not really a judgment against whether the beer's any good or not. It's just, you know, where my flavor guide is taking me, my spirit guide.
Well, on the way back from, we flew out of Oklahoma City because that's the closest direct flight to Seattle from here. And on the way back yesterday, we stopped in Roland at a Wendy's, and I had the ghost pepper chicken sandwich. So that, you know, that shows you my preferences. I mean...
Hey, was it hot? Was it really hot?
Not to my palate. I mean, it was spicy, but, you know, I was expecting to be in pain and sweating and all that, and I'm just, I don't know, maybe I've lost that capacity.
Well, I was going to say, but Wendy's would not want to serve something so hot that you can invite lawsuits, you know?
Well, but they're...
It's like people...
I mean, their regular spicy chicken sandwich is pretty spicy.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to give one a try one of these days.
And good. I've not had it. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we flew out of Pixley Airlines out of Branson. We had to stop every 50 miles and refuel. So it took 2 days to get to New York.
Did you have to take turns rotating the propellers to lubricate the engine before you started?
We did. And we had to stop in Washington first because Arnold had a congressional appointment.
My son Arnold, he's got to go speak in front of Congress for a little while.
That's right. He's trying to choose a new speaker.
My wife Doris, well, see, we had some of Mrs. Douglas's flapjacks that we used on the roof of the plane.
That's right. We had to change the head gasket in the motor. Luckily, we had some of our hotcakes, and we were good.
Hotcakes. Okay.
All right.
We're starting to get silly. All right. Yeah. So shall we unveil number A?
Let's do it.
Let's see if we got the same number A here. Oh, no.
Oh, no, what?
Well,
I haven't revealed yet.
Rip it off and see.
Oh, no, we're completely wrong.
We had a 50% chance.
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go.
So A was Nectaron.
Wow.
B was Vic Secret. Wow.
Based on everything we said, I'm very surprised.
Very.
Now, reading the descriptions, yeah, you know, they both are about citrus and passion fruit and all that, so I get that. But wow. So the Vic Secret was the one that...
That you liked the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we had... You remember my Honey Peach IPA?
I do.
Which was one of my favorite beers that I brewed in a long time. That one had a combination of Amarillo and Nectaron at flame out and then as a dry hop. And there was a ton. I didn't get any of the kind of oniony, you know, off-puttedness that I got, you know, today in tasting this alone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe pair your Nectaron with Amarillo. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Very interesting. Huh. So the Vic Secret is our winner today.
Well, in your book.
That's true.
I kind of like the Idaho 7. Yeah. But I'm pouring more of the Nectaron now that I know what it is. And of course, I'm going to say, oh, yes, of course. Tropical fruit characters of pineapple and passion fruit. As well as stone fruit, parentheses, peach.
I get all that. I just blended a little bit of the Vic Secret and the Nectaron. That's pretty good.
You know, the Nectaron, it's warming up now, and I'm not, you know, it's not as, I don't get as much of the grassy stuff, of course, now that I know what it is.
Right.
Wow. We had a 50% chance, and we blew it.
Well, that's how it goes sometimes.
But, again, all three of these beers are good, and I bet that if we, you know, like tomorrow, if you open one of those beers, you'll have a different perception of it because you're drinking it by itself.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if you have it with food, that changes. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about this hobby or any kind of foodie hobby. It's like it's not just the – in this case, you have a beer, but the beer could be an ingredient or a component of a larger setting like a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beer is completely different.
I've been pairing beer with a full pint of Bulgarian buttermilk.
It's starting to scare me. Yeah, I don't know.
Canada changed me.
I do like Bulgarian buttermilk.
I could drink a full pint of Bulgarian buttermilk. My grandpa used to drink a little glass of buttermilk with lunch. And
I love buttermilk. Bulgarian buttermilk's really good because it's the most kind of sour and it's really aggressive buttermilk.
Yep.
And if you're going to drink buttermilk.
Might as well. Jeez Louise.
I love it. And Bulgarian yogurt, same thing. And Bulgarian feta cheese, same thing. They all have just that. They're just a little bit more. They're just a little funkier.
A little extra tang.
Yeah. Well, we ate in a Turkish restaurant in New York, and I ordered a glass of something called Ayran, which is spelled A-R-Y-A-N, I think, Ayran, and it's just yogurt and water and a little salt.
Oh.
And I love it. And I drink it. Actually, I make it at home quite a bit. And but they had the restaurant version, and man, it is so good. But you got to like buttermilk.
I do.
You know, it's that same flavor. Buttermilk's a little richer, I think. But gosh, so good. We should do a buttermilk sampler.
I'm in. Maybe we should make our own buttermilk.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, I used to churn butter at my grandma's. So my grandma Decker had one of those big, probably a gallon, maybe 2 gallons. I was a little kid, so that seemed really big to me at the time. But it was a paddle, you know, a paddle churn inside of a big, like a giant mason jar, and you put the lid on, and you turn the crank, and it would turn the paddles in there, and she'd, you know, and us kids would have to sit and churn the butter.
Was it a side crank, kind of like a ice cream maker, the old ice cream maker?
Mm-hmm. It was a side crank, and it had these wooden paddles, and they would just, you know, stir, and eventually you'd get butter and buttermilk. Mm-hmm. You'd get the leftover, that, and we'd pour that off and drink it.
Wow.
It's great.
Now I'm hungry.
You're kidding.
Get some butter. That's right. Well, Steve.
Well, James.
This is fun. We need to do another one. Wait, maybe we need to do, come up with, think in your mind, combinations of hops. Because I think the previous one that we did was a combination of two different hops. We tasted the hops on their own, and then another beer brewed with the combination of the two. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun.
So it would be interesting. Yeah. Have we done something like a EKG and a Fuggle, and then an EKG and Fuggle together? Something like that.
Oh, that'd be fun. Go back to basics.
Go back to the drawing board, the original ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So something like that. But you could do that with any combination, just, you know, ones that typically go together, or maybe ones that don't. I mean, that you don't think of.
Right.
But, that'd be a fun way to do it. And that way you wouldn't necessarily have three completely different beers, but it would be interesting. Oh, and then it'd be fun to take, so you've got the one beer that's brewed together, and we'll say EKG and Fuggle. But then you could also take the EKG and the Fuggle beer and blend them and see, you know, what happens.
I don't know.
So.
All that sounds good.
All that.
Well, okay. Steve, I hope you get to feeling better soon.
Oh, I will. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hopefully the beer has helped in that regard.
I'm going to cherish these because I'm out of beer. I have no beer at my house at all.
Oh, I would have run by the liquor store for you.
That's all right. I mean, I can.
I might still
I
yet.
Do that. I just ran out, and you know, and then we got back home yesterday, and I was like, I don't have any beer. Oh, well. Oh, actually, I did buy a six-pack of – take that back. I bought a six-pack of Ozark Beer Company Cream Stout.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which I – because I was so enamored of those Guinness beers I had in New York, and I thought – I started to buy a six-pack of Guinness, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to support, you know, support Andy Coates. So.
Yes, support Andy and Lacey.
I did, and the beer is very good, and a little bit – it's very interesting. It would be interesting to do kind of a – I won't call it a hop sampler, of course, but to compare like Guinness with, in this case, the Ozark Cream Stout, and how they, because everyone's had a Guinness. If you haven't had a Guinness and you're a beer drinker, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So everybody knows what a Guinness tastes like. And then to bounce that off of some other stouts that then you've got kind of an agreed upon, you know, that most of the listeners will say, okay, I know what that tastes like. And now I have a yardstick to go against.
Yeah.
Would be interesting. In fact, I want to brew a stout. I'm all about stouts now. I guess it's just that time of year.
Well, I'll bring you a porter next week. How about that?
That sounds like, oh, hey, yeah. We need to talk about that off camera or off tape.
We'll get the logistics. Yeah. Get the trucking company involved.
That's right.
All right, sir. Well, it's been fun. And I hope Gretchen gets to feeling better soon, and all the best to Buddy the dog as well. Why not?
Buddy the dog. Thank you, James.
Cheers, Steve. Well, that was a ton of fun. What's taken us so long to do more hop samplers? By the way, Steve reports that he and Gretchen feel much better now, which is great news. We're all looking forward to Chase and Sydney's reception later this week. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all. Until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.